Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. All right, guys, here we go. It's just me, Rocky, riding solo here. Dummies for Sports. Welcome, welcome, everyone. NFL season's coming up soon, and we want to make sure that we get all the divisions in, so I'll be riding solo just for tonight. Yes, it's nighttime here, 8:45 p.m., late night podcast. Not that late, but you know, it's a nighttime podcast. Let's have some fun. So we're going to go through the AFC South tonight, and we've already done half the league. Go back and watch those other videos. They were really amazing. AFC North got very interesting. As Ravens fans, we were all very animated in our opinions. And in fact, I said that two teams would go over their win total and two teams would go under the win total. And the two teams which I chose might shock you. So go back and watch that one first. That is the AFC North predicted win totals. But for now, we're going to be getting into the AFC South. So let's do it. Now, the AFC South reminds me of the NFC North. Right? It's the Packers, Lions, Vikings, and Bears. Well, you really have the Lions are the darlings of that division. Their projected win total, according to Vegas, was 9.5, is 9.5. And they're the up-and-coming team. A lot of young players, a lot of young talents on the roster, build through the draft. Okay, don't necessarily have the flashiest quarterback in Jared Goff, but they have a lot of good young talent, and you know, people are looking at the Lions being like, well, you got the Packers, don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. The Bears have a lot of holes in the roster, despite Justin Fields, you know, progressing slightly in terms of his passing ability. And the Vikings are just a wild card. You never know what the Vikings are going to do. This really is the Lions division for the taking. They're the only team you could really look at and say, there's a reason I would choose them to win this division. With this division, it's very much the same here in the AFC South. It's like the Jaguars are the team on the come up, and all the other teams are just very pedestrian, below average. The Texans are in a very similar boat to the Bears. Yes, they've built through the draft. Yes, they've added talent. Yes, they still have some cornerstones on defense, but tons of holes in the roster. They just brought in a rookie quarterback. Tons of question marks there. So it can really go a lot of different directions. The Colts also have a young quarterback, really, as do the Titans. So let's go through this. Let's get it. So let's start off with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 10, the darlings of the division. Big win total for the Jaguars, a team a few years ago that was, you know, the laughing stock of the NFL, wearing those bags last week of the season against the Colts just a couple of years ago, although they won the game and knocked the Colts out of the playoffs. That was the famous Week 18 where the Raiders played the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. The Steelers got in. They almost didn't because of the tie. That was that week, if I remember correctly. And the Steelers needed the Colts to lose in order to make the playoffs. And that's, in fact, what happened. The Jaguars fans came to the stadium, bags over their heads, you know, everything that happened in that locker room over that year. And Doug Peterson brought in last year, and down the stretch, the Jaguars pulled together. They won a bunch of games from week 9 and on. Trevor Lawrence was, according to PFF, one of the highest graded quarterbacks in football. So, obviously, they have a lot of young talent on the team. So they're definitely on the come up. You know, you have guys like Trayvon Walker, Devin Lloyd, although both of them struggled a bit last year. Good young core there on the defense, both on the back end and the front end. O-line loses Juwan Taylor. That's going to hurt him. Really not a great unit up there. There's still some concerns. You bring in Calvin Ridley, pair him up with Christian Kirk. Question mark there. You don't know if Calvin Ridley's per se going to be his old self that he was in the Falcons before his off-field stuff. But, you know, if Calvin Ridley can come back to somewhat of what he was, a fraction of what he was a couple years ago. So you got Calvin Kirk, you got Christian Kirk, you got some good weapons for Trevor Lawrence now, you know, who's all of a sudden been on the rise. The question's going to be here. Okay, well, Trevor Lawrence, like I said, from week 9 on, one of the best quarterbacks in football down the stretch last year and ultimately led the Jaguars to win the division and make the playoffs. But was that just, did he just peak? Is he going to maintain that level of play, or is that an exception for Trevor Lawrence? That's what we're going to have to wait and see. So I'm going to cheat a little here and go even for the Jaguars at 10. I think 10 is exactly where you have them. I don't love the Jaguars roster, but the rest of the division really isn't great. So I'm going to go with the Jaguars at 10. Let's see in here. Next, we have the Tennessee Titans at 7.5. Seems like a good number for the Titans. Listen, They drafted Will Levis, a lot of upside. The next three teams we're going to discuss all drafted quarterbacks. You know, highly touted quarterbacks in the draft this year. So they drafted Will Levis, a lot of upside. They say he's got a big arm. He's a tall guy. We'll see what happens with that. You know, it seems like the Malik Willis experiment from last year didn't really work. Will Levis is probably a little better of an experiment. Malik Willis wasn't a great prospect. Maybe just compared to the draft class last year, people, you know, were saying this guy's the best quarterback in the draft, even though it looks like Kenny Pickett is so far. But so, you know, heading into the to the offseason, at least last season. But Will Levis is definitely a better prospect than Malik Willis. Probably does have more upside. Maybe not as much athleticism, but definitely has more upside. So there is what to look forward to there. Listen, you know, Treylon Burks did look like a good weapon down the stretch last year, so maybe they'll finally have one weapon, but we're talking about one of the worst receiving corps in football, guys. I mean, this is just really bad. They were Westbrook, Akina, like, you're not dealing with a lot. And Will Levis is probably not going to start the season. It's probably going to be Tannehill, and Tannehill's just, he is what he is. He's a, you know, he had that one breakout year a few years ago when the Titans had the best division in the AFC, the best record in the AFC. Since then, he's been back closer to Dolphins Tannehill, and that's just not good enough, especially with this type of roster. So, you know, you made some improvements. Dillard and Skoransky coming into the offensive line. You needed improvements there, so you do that. But they're in sort of a half-rebuild mode. The only thing holding me back from going under with the Titans at 7.5 is that, you know, much like Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, like, am I going to go below 8.5 with Mike Tomlin at head coach? He just, you know, there's no real way to explain how these head coaches, you know, sustain the success that they do. Because at the end of the day, you know, what's Mike Tomlin doing? That's so great. He's had great players. He's obviously had the luck of having Big Ben, Polamalu, great players throughout his career. But even this year, they bring in Kenny Pickett, a rookie quarterback. They start off the season 2-7, and then they somehow have a winning record. Vrabel, similar. He always has his guys playing hard. I know it's a cliche to say, but it seems like that is the case, that he always has his guys playing hard. They're always competitive. So 7.5, I'm actually going to go over. I'm going to say the Titans will get 8 wins. I was, you know, more optimistic about the Titans last year. I still think having Treylon Burks, you still have Derrick Henry, Tannehill's still fine quarterback. He's not, I know he's definitely been on the decline since his breakout year a few years ago, but he's still a fine quarterback. If he doesn't pan out, maybe you can put Will Levis in there, maybe he can win you a few games. I still think that it's a good enough team where you can win 8 games. Next, we got the Houston Texans, who had the second overall pick and surrendered the first overall pick last year to the Chicago Bears, unbelievably beating the Colts last week of the season. With that just absolute crazy ending to a game. You know, had that been like two teams fighting for a playoffs, we'd be talking about that game till today. We still are, because it had a lot of implications on the draft. But in any case, they ended up getting the number 2 pick, drafted CJ Stroud. Obviously, most would say probably the second best quarterback. They'd say maybe the safest pick. Bryce Young probably has the most upside, but CJ Stroud might be the safest pick. That concerns me a little bit. I mean, there is something to picking the safest guy, but the last time I recall, at least, someone picking the safest quarterback in a good quarterback draft class was Sam Darnold, and that did not work out. People said, well, listen, you know, he doesn't have the most upside. Even Josh Allen in that draft class, I said, had more upside, but, you know, and they said Baker has more upside, but Sam Darnold's the safest, and he ended up not being very good. And, you know, the Bills went for the upside in Josh Allen, the Ravens went for the upside in Lamar Jackson, and those two guys ended up being the two best quarterbacks in the draft class. So sometimes going for upside, as like Anthony Richardson, which we'll discuss in a second, Will Levis, and even Bryce Young, maybe is better. Not to say all these guys are going to pan out. They won't. Just the odds. But see, going with the safe pick does scare me a little bit. They have a lot of holes in the roster. Stingley did not perform as a rookie like we expected him to do. They bring in Will Anderson, traded a first and third for him. That's a lot. But he is a huge talent. They say best overall player in the draft heading into this draft. They were saying best overall player. Just, you have a loaded quarterback class, so you don't want to pass up on Bryce Young. Potential, you know, quarterbacks are at a premium in today's NFL. So you're gonna have to hope Stingley bounces back and really lives up to this potential. Third overall pick last year. Will Anderson, great talent. You have some cornerstones. There still really are a lot of holes on this roster. So CJ Stroud, he's hooking up with the new offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. So we'll see. Maybe they can do something there in Houston. But 6.5, I'm going under. Too many holes in the roster. I'm going to go under there. And finally, let's go to the Indianapolis Colts. Also 6.5. 6.5, I believe. Let me just check here. 6.5 is a bunch of teams with 6.5 is the second worst. The teams with a projected win total of 6.5 are the following: the Colts, the Commanders, the Rams, the Bucks, and the Texans. and the Cardinals, and those are our second to worst projected win totals. Five teams with that projected win total, and the worst are the Cardinals at 4.5, which we'll get to soon, God willing. But so both the Texans and the Colts have the second worst projected win totals in the league. Listen, they had a good draft, shot for the upside, like we just discussed with Anthony Richardson. He's got incredible athleticism. He's got a great arm. He wasn't good in college. He just wasn't. So you're really banking on upside here. You really are, which is fine. Like I said, you know, was Josh Allen great in college? No. He had a lot of upside throws, and the Bills took a shot at that. And you've seen teams do this. We'll take a shot at the upside, even if the floor is very low. And that might be the case with Anthony Richardson. But heck, do it. You're in a rebuild. You're banking on his upside. He's got a big-time arm. He's got great athleticism. A guy like that can potentially be a game-breaker. He could also potentially bust, but I like it. I like taking a chance at 4 overall. As far as the rest of the roster is concerned, secondary isn't good. I mean, maybe Isaiah Rodgers, seventh rounder, you know, had a breakout year last year. Is he going to repeat that? I don't know. A lot of holes in the secondary, a lot of holes in the front seven. Also, a team, we're looking at a division that potentially has the most flawed rosters in football. Because even the best team in this division, which is the Jaguars, the only reason almost everyone's going to predict them to win this division is not because they have this great team. It's because compared to the rest of it, they have a good team. But a lot of flawed rosters here, really a lot of flawed rosters. And I don't think the Colts are an exception in this case. So I do think, in fact, that the Colts are going to go under 6.5. I'm looking at the Texans under 6.5, the Colts under 6.5, the Titans to get over 7.5. Just because Vrabel keeps things exciting, but I don't think they'll make a serious playoff run. Just because, I mean, this is one of the worst receiving corps in football. There's no question. And the Jaguars actually have a pretty good roster, but compared to the rest of the division, I think they should, you know, they got the Texans and the Colts. They should win three out of four of those games, and maybe win another against the Titans. I mean, they should be able to win 4 out of 6 games without being this spectacular team, right? Just because of the teams they're playing against. And if they can win 5 of the 6 in the division, they're halfway to 10 wins already. So I think the Jaguars can definitely get 10 wins this year. And yeah, my prediction for the division winner is obviously the Jaguars. And I'll get the other guys' opinions on this, but I'm sure they'll agree with me on this. I have a little doubt that most people will agree with me on that. I'm looking forward to seeing, after the season, one of these rant, like Anthony Richardson just goes off and the Colts win 10 games and beat the Jaguars week 18. I don't even know if they're playing week 18. I'm just making up some scenario. But they beat, you know, they somehow fight the Jaguars out for the division title, and all those old takes exposed, the freezing cold takes are all going to be, you know, there's zero chance the Jaguars don't win this division, and all the predictions about the Jaguars winning division, we'll see if that's exposed after the season. It could happen. Trevor Lawrence might not repeat the performance he had last year, but I would say that, you know, he was such a great prospect, and the trajectory of his career makes sense. Rookie year, we didn't really see what we wanted to out of him. Maybe a couple convincing throws here and there. And then his second year, first half of the season, not great, a little better. And then from week on and on, just took off. So that's really what we expected from him. So his career is looking to is going in the right trajectory. So with that being said, I think the Jaguars will end up winning this division. All right, guys, thank you for hanging out with me. That's for the AFC South. Those are the projected win totals. We'll see you next time.